Why did Frederick III risk his realm of Saxony to protect Martin Luther and the developing reforms of the church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is Frederick the Wise, Seen and Unseen Lives of Martin Luther's Protector. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Frederick the Wise by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Frederick the Wise.
All right, get out your pencils and let's look at what I've learned about God-inspired imagination. This really could make a major difference in your life if you'll let God expand the way you think about your family, your career, your life, God, and everything else.
That's the famous voice of Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California. He was preaching this last Sunday, introducing yet another 40-day campaign, not only for Saddleback and his congregation, but you can be certain it's coming to a congregation near you. Videos, books, you name it, it will all be there, just like 40 days of purpose. He's calling it Daring Faith. It's the latest of the 40-day campaigns there. But this one, well, this one's like Purpose-Driven Life with a few added twists, a few very interesting, well, what Rick Warren does best. He takes Bible passages out of context, and he shows how it should be done if you want to make it an absolute profession. Not that anyone would really want to do that. Joining us to talk about this week in Pop American Christianity and Rick Warren's Doctrine of Imagination, Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we go to this break, why are so these 50-day, 40-day campaigns, these short-term things, so important to Warren, to his church, and to all the pastors and churches out there trying to be Rick Warren and Saddleback?
Well, what he would tell you is that these 40-day campaigns, and this Daring Faith is just the latest from Saddleback, that this is a time when it's intentional focus on spiritual growth. And so these campaigns are designed on purpose, the way he puts it, to really force everybody in the congregation to be stretched and to grow in their faith. And this is a time when they believe these 40-day campaigns are an accelerated growth in your spiritual depth and understanding and things like that. That's how they say it. But I think it's a little bit more than that. I've found that the congregations that do this, including Saddleback, what it does is it causes everybody to kind of all be on the same page and to experience the same curriculum together. It's during the 40-day campaigns that every single small group in these purpose-driven churches are all teaching from the same curriculum, all hearing the same messages, all answering the same small group questions. So in a way, it's kind of a way of getting everybody in all of these different small groups that comprise these purpose-driven churches to, experience the same teaching doctrine and be kind of all on the same page. It's a unity building, if you would, exercise for them. I would say even more so than spiritual growth.
Chris, we're going to hear Rick Warren coming out of the break. What should we be listening for on the other side of the break? With about a minute here.
The thing we need to be paying very close attention to is how he is teaching the doctrine that he's teaching. And it basically asks yourself the question, is what he's saying from these passages what God's Word says? And then ask a follow-up question. Is it possible for somebody to be learning sound biblical doctrine, which is what a pastor is called to do, to teach what's in accord with sound doctrine? Is it possible for somebody to learn sound doctrine from a man who is twisting God's Word and not rightly handling it? I think these are important questions to ask as we listen to the sound bites that we'll be listening to after the break.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's Friday afternoon, April the 17th, our regular feature this week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to be looking at Pastor Rick Warren's Doctrine of Imagination. He's going to begin there with how imagination shapes your life. He's got a passage to back it up. Now, the question is, does the passage he uses to back up his assertion actually say what he says it says? That's a big question that we'll entertain on the other side of the break. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. And then we're going to play Issues Etc., a soundbite of the week. We'll play four soundbites for you. All you have to do is listen, and then you give us a call, send us an email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Chris Roseborough and Soundbite of the Week in Hour 2 of Issues Etc.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoda, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoda.com.
All right, get out your pencils and let's look at what I've learned about God-inspired imagination. This really could make a major difference in your life if you'll let God expand the way you think about your family, your career, your life, God, and everything else. Number one, the first thing, my imagination shapes my life. My imagination shapes my life. In other words, the way you think is going to affect the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to affect the way you act. And if you want to change the way you act, you need to change the way you think. Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." It is God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. For instance, the person who says, I can't do this, and the person who says, I can do this, are both right. They're both right. Because if you think you can't, you can't. And if you think you can, you can. The person who says, I just can't imagine that ever happening to me. Well, guess what? It won't. It won't. Because you're already doing a self-fulfilling prophecy.
All right, Chris, so what's he saying there, and in particular, is the Proverbs passage he has pulled out to support his point, does it support his point?
Well, you'll notice, okay, he's trying to sell you on something. He's basically trying to convince you that, listen, God wants you to have a proper imagination, and if you're going to embrace God's imagination and this vision that he has for your life, that somehow this is going to cause all of your ducks to, you know, to line up in a row, and supposedly good things are going to happen to you, he's saying. And the text that he goes to is Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. And we got to talk about the way Rick Warren teaches God's Word, and I'm being very generous when I say he teaches God's Word. I don't think he teaches it at all. Warren always begins with his doctrine, his idea, his thing that he wants to teach, and then he goes into like a computerized Bible program and finds verses that he's trying to shoehorn into this teaching that he's teaching. And so he rips them out of context. He quotes them from different translations and dubious paraphrases, all keying in on the different words that he's trying to find so that he can create the illusion that this is what God's Word teaches. But if somebody has their Bible and they were to go to Proverbs 23, verse 7, they would notice that he's quoting it out of context. And when we apply the context and a good modern translation, then all of a sudden the illusion that Warren is trying to create disappears. And let me read to you Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7. Here's what the proverb says. Do not eat the bread of a man who is stingy. Do not desire his delicacies. For he is like one who is inwardly calculating. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Now, when I read that from the ESV, it didn't say anything about your imagination or you are what you think you are or you are as you thinketh in your heart. It doesn't say anything of the sort. So when you see what's going on in the context, this is a proverb basically warning you, hey, listen, if you know somebody who is actually greedy and stingy, and they invite you over to their house and they offer you food and things like that, don't take it, because that person really doesn't want you to, is what this proverb is saying. It doesn't say anything at all when you look at it in context from a good translation about, you know, how you thinketh is how you are. This is not the point of this text. And what I find fascinating about what Rick Warren is doing in this Daring Faith 40 Days campaign, in teaching this imagination doctrine and twisting this biblical text out of context the way he's doing the exact same thing that the Word of Faith heretics do with this verse. They quote it out of context, you know, without any of the surrounding stuff from the King James, and key on the words, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And then this becomes a major verse or proof text within the Word of Faith heresy that says you need to positively confess and affirm things about yourself. You need to stand in a mirror and say things like, I am the apple of God's eye, I am the head and not the tail, and I'm great and I have a strong future and things like that. And they base that Word of Faith positive confession theology on this exact same verse that Rick Warren is trying to manipulate to teach us that we need to have an imagination that thinks big things and daring things about the future and God's plans for our life.
Okay, so with only about a minute here, the Word of Faith guys would say you're actually manipulating a cosmic power that God has built into the universe by exercising the creative power of your thoughts. I don't think Rick Warren would go that far. This is just pure pop psychology with Rick Warren, kind of the old, I learned about self-fulfilling prophecy in my Psych 101 class back in college with a Bible passage stuck onto the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, I go a little bit farther than this. You have to remember back in the day that Rick Warren was actually a disciple of Robert Schuller, and although he publicly accused Schuller of teaching false doctrine and teaching stuff that wasn't in accord with God's word, this has more in common with Robert Schuller's power of positive thinking than it does with anything in the Bible. So this is almost a Schuller-esque spin off of this Bible out of passage that Warren is doing. In fact, I'd recommend your listeners go back and listen to that encore interview that you did with Robert Schuller, and you'll see some of the same strains of thought in Rick Warren's theology in these quotes that we're playing today.
What are we going to hear next from Rick Warren as he's selling his congregation this last Sunday on the next 40 days of Daring Faith?
Well, our next quote is he's going to actually be looking at Genesis chapter 11 and the Tower of Babel from the Amplified translation, which is not a good translation at all, in order to teach us a point about the power of imagination.
Now, God warned about the power of imagination being misused. And he tells the people in Babel, where they were building this giant Tower of Babel, which was going to be basically an idol. They were going to build it to reach up to God. And here's what God says in Genesis 11 about imagination. The Lord said, now that they are one people speaking one language, this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Notice, this is God talking. God always speaks the truth. He says, because they're one people with one language, and they're unified, they've got clear communication, he said, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Now, this is actually a warning, but there's also a teaching here. If you were a businessman, I want you to listen closely. How do you get a group of people to do the impossible? How do you make the impossible possible? Maybe you've got a project in your business that you go, man, there's no way this is going to happen. How do you get people to do the impossible? Well, he says there are three things. You need cooperation, you need communication, and you need imagination. He said you got to have cooperation. They've got to be unified, one people. You've got to have clear communication. They're speaking one language. And you've got to have imagination. And if you've got those three, that's how the impossible becomes possible. That's a little leadership tip I just thought I'd throw in there.
All right, break that down for us, Chris.
I've never heard anybody do this with this story of the Tower of Babel. Apparently, there's some kind of backhanded leadership principle that you can glean from this. You know, here's how you make the impossible possible. Well, here's the issue. If you were to look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 from a good translation, and the Amplified is not a good translation. In fact, it errs by basically pouring into different words every definition possible for a word. And that's, in hermeneutics, we call that the error of the illegitimate totality transfer. You know, a word only has one meaning in any given context. And so if you were to look at this passage from Genesis chapter 11, verse 7, from the ESV, which is a good translation. You're going to look it up in the NIV or the NASB. All of them use derivatives of the kind of the same idea, but here's what it says. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible. And the Hebrew word that is the inspired word that God had Moses write down is not a word that means imagination. The word is zamam, and it means to purpose, to design, or to plan. And so what Rick Warren is engaging in is obfuscation. And so he's not actually exegeting the story of the Tower of Babel so that we understand what's going on in this text. He's ripped a verse from its context, looked for a translation that has the word he's looking for, imagination or some derivative of it, and then he's saying, God is saying, look at what happens when you abuse imagination. That's not what this text says at all. And the Hebrew doesn't back up what he's saying. And so this is yet another example of Rick Warren really playing fast and loose with God's word. And rather than letting God's word speak, Rick Warren is throttling the voice of God. And instead, the one who's speaking and teaching doctrines is Rick Warren, not God's word, because this is not what God's word teaches at all.
Chris Rosebrough is our guest. It's Friday afternoon, April the 17th. This week in Pop American Christianity, we're looking at Rick Warren's doctrine of imagination. He's rolling out, I guess I should say, another 40-day emphasis for Saddleback and for all the willing churches out there who want to be like Saddleback, called Daring Faith. It focuses on what he calls God-inspired imagination. More with Chris Rosebrough right after this.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Has your pastor promised that Christianity will improve your marriage, produce well-behaved children, and make your life happier? And have you failed to see these results? Visit a confessional Lutheran church this weekend where they won't promise your best life now. They'll give you something better, Jesus, every Sunday. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
What do lay people owe their pastors? I've written an article in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled, What Hearers Owe Their Pastors, Receive the Gift, and you can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Jim Pierce's journey from Pentecostalism, fundamentalism, and atheism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
okay, Lord, I know you put me on this earth for a particular purpose, and yet don't look to me and my doing, look to my Savior.
This is a solid case. Classical historians would sell their grandmothers to get this kind of corroborating evidence for the authorship of the secular works of antiquity.
There's countless stories of the praise and worship leaders who end up losing their faith altogether, and it's no wonder, because this is an incredibly dangerous place to find yourself as the manipulator of both God and man.
It sounds very pious to say, I am going to interpret the Book of Concord according to the infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God. That way of speaking actually tells you nothing about what the person believes, teaches, and confesses.
In just about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. There's a taste of the four soundbites we'll play for you in their entirety in 20 minutes. And then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc or go to our Facebook fan page. You can do that right now and vote in advance, in fact. Facebook.com/issuesetc. And your vote will decide which should be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're walking through the latest unveiling of Pastor Rick Warren's Doctrine of Imagination, his 40-day campaign of daring faith. A question before we hear from Rick again here. When he talks there about the Tower of Babel and how even though this is an obvious warning against man's proposals, against man's wicked imagination, he seems to kind of say, well, you know, but imagination's kind of neutral. And so here's a little leadership tip. What are your thoughts there, Chris?
Yeah, this is dangerous territory to be in. In fact, if you were to do a word search on imagination in Scripture, you will find, using a good translation, that imagination is the source of idolatry. You look at Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, God talks about the false prophets, prophets who are prophesying their vain imaginations. This is how God describes them. And then even Paul talks about the imagination of idolaters in Athens. When God is not. You know, we shouldn't imagine that he lives in temples made by hands and things like that. So, Scripture actually, for the most part, really speaks negatively of man's imagination, and man's imagination is a source of idolatry and false prophecy explicitly in the Old Testament.
What's coming up next here from Rick Warren?
Okay, this is kind of an interesting one. He's going to be talking about what great lives are built on, and he's going to misquote a passage from Ephesians chapter 1, but listen carefully. Listen to this next one with the categories of law and gospel in mind, and law being the thing that accuses us, and gospel the thing that announces to us the comforting good news of what Christ has done for us, and ask yourself, is what Rick Warren's saying here, is this law or is it gospel? I think that will help us with these categories.
Great lives are built on great dreams. Great lives are built around great dreams. You become great by attaching your life to a great cause, a great purpose, or a great dream. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you out of yourself, to make you grow better than yourself, and that's what makes you a great person. Until you have a great dream, you will never be a great woman. Until you have a great dream for your life, you will never be a great man. If you don't have a great vision, if you don't have a great dream, it is impossible for you to be great. Greatness comes from what you attach yourself to. You need something bigger than yourself that pulls you out of your self-centeredness that makes you great. Now, during Daring Faith, I want to help you unlock your imagination. And I want to help you become a more great person. And I want you to dream and to visualize and to think about how God wants to use your career, how God wants to use your future, your finances, your family, your giving, your ministry, your career. And my prayer for you is actually this next verse on your outline, Ephesians chapter 1. As your pastor, I'm praying this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that his calling holds for you. Now notice this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind. What's he talking about there? The eyes of your mind. He's not talking about your physical eyes. He's talking about your imagination. He's saying, I pray that your imagination will come alive, and in faith, you will be able to see God's dream for your life, God's vision for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life.
All right, that's Pastor Rick Warren preaching Sunday at Saddleback Community Church on 40 Days of Daring Faith. Chris Roseborough is our guest. Take that one apart for us, if you would, Chris.
Okay, first of all, notice what he's saying. If you want to be great, you need to, you got to. This is law. And so you got to attach yourself to some dream that's bigger than yourself. So this, he's, in a sense, giving a new set of commandments. And what I find fascinating here is that the premise is that the person coming to Saddleback is answering the question, what must I do in order to be great? And Rick Warren's answer is, you've got to have a big imagination. You've got to be part of a dream that's bigger than yourself. And this is dangerous ground to be in. Jesus himself addresses the issue of greatness. And Jesus says, in Matthew 18, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Or Jesus also says, the greatest among you must be the servant of all. So I find it absolutely fascinating that Rick Warren is talking in terms of greatness, and the greatness that he's saying is basically you can be great, and the greatness is not denying yourself, humbling yourself, trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and serving your neighbor, and loving and serving them. Instead, it's no, you got to attach yourself to a dream that's bigger than yourself. And nowhere in Scripture is this taught, and it is especially not taught in the passage that he quoted out of context, yet another passage out of context from Ephesians chapter 1. The verse he quoted was from verse 18. And let me read it in context. Paul writes in verse 15, "For this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love towards the saints." So notice Paul here understands what it means to have humble, penitent faith and love towards neighbor that flows from that faith. He says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints." So when you put it in context, Paul isn't saying anything about your imagination at all. Instead, he's saying, having the eyes of your heart enlightened so that you may know what is the hope to which he's called you. The hope to which he's called us is not that we can have some great grand dream destiny that our imagination is supposed to be latching on to, but instead, our hope is in the immeasurable greatness of God's power towards us, who believe in God's great, mighty power that he worked in Christ. And so that's what Paul's talking about, and it's very dangerous what Rick Warren is doing, because in talking about greatness the way he's doing it, he's directly contradicting our Lord, and what he's also doing is filling people's minds with a doctrine about imagination, which is nothing more than the ravings of Rick Warren's own imagination, because when you actually take the look at an opportunity to proof text and look at what he's doing with these texts to see if what these texts are saying actually say what he's saying, they're not saying it at all. I mean, this is very, very dangerous.
I wonder about God's role in all of this, because God's kind of the guy who wrote the diet book and Rick is there selling it. You know, God has this plan, but you have to believe in yourself and jump on the program. And then if you do that, step 1, 2, 3, you know, you change your thinking, your feelings, and your actions, you'll get these results. But God's just kind of the author of the diet book that Rick is selling.
Yeah, it's as if God is kind of sitting up on some mountain up in the Himalayas, and you know, he's just waiting for you to get your act together to come to him and demonstrate to him that you believe that he's capable of doing so much more than you could possibly ever think or imagine. And once you've kind of met that criteria and God's convinced that you're enlightened enough now to believe that he's able to deliver some huge grand dream purpose thingy that he's going to reveal to you and that you can be a part of, then God will actually finally hand over the dream so that you can get busy fulfilling it. It's a weird deity that he believes in, but it's not it's not the God of Scripture that he's preaching about at all.
In this last piece, Rick pulls out the chestnut of all chestnuts when it comes to vision casting leaders. What are we going to listen for?
Yeah, listen to his use of the Proverbs, and we'll take a look at that passage where it says, without a vision, people perish. And we'll, again, put it in context and look at what's going on there.
If you can't dream God's dream, you're not really living. You're just existing. And you're just going through life, and without a dream, you're dying. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:18, where there is no vision, what does it say? The people perish. Circle that. The people perish. I tell pastors, when a church has no dream, where there's no vision in the church, the people go to another parish. Now, as I said, I want you to discover God's dream. And one of the things that I told you that during Daring Faith, I'm going to push you. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to challenge you to discover God's dream for your life.
He hardly even explained what it was supposed to mean. I guess it's so well known, without vision, the people perish. How is that usually pushed by guys like Warren and pastors who want to be like Warren?
Well, the idea is that where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, that means you have to have an individual vision for your life. If you're a vision-casting leader, well, then that means you're supposed to receive an actual vision from God so that the people, you know, your congregation has a purpose and a vision to unite around. And you know, the way he quotes it, I mean, it's just so self-explanatory. But the problem is it's totally out of context, and it's half of the verse. The verse is Proverbs 29, verse 18. And here's what it says. I'll read it from the ESV. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, which I think is a good way of translating the Hebrew there. But, and then there's a comma. So where there's a comma, you can't put a period. But they put a period there. Where there's no vision, the people perish. And there's a comma. And here's what it says. But blessed is he who keeps the Torah, or keeps the law. And what is the Torah? What is the law? It's the written word of God. So the prophetic vision that the people need is not some grand vision that God's supposed to deliver into your heart that you're supposed to live out, or some vision that God's supposed to give to your pastor. No, the prophetic vision that we need is the written word of God. And that's exactly what Proverbs 29:18 is teaching. But each and every one of these guys who quote half of the verse out of context and put a period where there's a comma, they're X-ing out the solution to the problem, which is the written word of God.
Okay, so let's kind of bring this all together here. A couple questions to wrap it up. Rick Warren seems to be pushing things a little bit here. This is way more than 40 days of purpose, kind of finding your purpose for ensuring heavenly rewards. This is almost your best life now. Is he trying to keep up with Joel Osteen?
Right. That is a great question. I have noted the similarities between Rick Warren's message over the past couple of years and that of Joel Osteen and some of the Word of Faith guys. And it's a light version of it. It's similar, but a little bit different. But the basic premise is that you know, you want to have a life of significance, whereas the Word of Faith people, they'll kind of talk about kind of gross prosperity or abundance or divine health and wealth and things like that. Rick Warren is not advocating for divine health and wealth, nor is he advocating for even a comfortable suburbanite life. Instead, he's actually advocating for kind of a life of meaning and significance beyond the ordinary life of a suburbanite, and that means to get kind of caught up in his peace plan or planting a purpose-driven church or being part of some bigger movement. And so the target that he has is not about the comforts of this life. Instead, it's really about being part of some big movement that he's kind of spearheading and promoting and being a part of that. That's really what he's pushing for.
Two quick final questions. You asked the question at the beginning of the conversation, can a pastor who should be putting forth sound doctrine do it by tearing out of context and twisting passages like Rick Warren so often does?
No. The answer to the question is no. It is impossible to teach God's word by twisting God's word. And so the issue then is that a pastor who engages in this mishandling of God's word, and this is not an isolated incident with Rick Warren. This is what he does Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. You have to ask yourself, if this is how a pastor is handling God's word, and Warren has taught an entire army of hundreds of thousands of pastors around the world to do the same thing, Can you be taught sound doctrine and know the truth and hear the voice of God and his word from pastors who are engaging in this kind of mangling of God's word? The answer is categorically no. There is no possible way to learn sound doctrine when a pastor is twisting God's word and teaching false doctrine the way Rick Warren is.
What's lined up for tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
We're wrapping up our Worst Easter Sermon of the Year contest. This is a politically incorrect thing we do over at Fighting for the Faith. We actually have listener-supported listener suggestions on sermons that we put into a contest every year, and the listeners decide which is the worst Easter sermon of the year each year on Fighting for the Faith.
Folks, you can listen to Fighting for the Faith half hour from right now, after the live broadcast of Issues Etc., at piratechristianradio.com, piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you again.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to play Issues Etc., soundbite of the week with you, our listeners. That means audience participation. That means you need to listen when we play the four soundbites for you, and then you need to pick up the phone and give us a call and vote for one of them to be the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can vote via email. We get it right here in the studio in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or go right now to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Gloria Christi Lutheran, Greeley, Colorado; St. John's Lutheran, Rosemount, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Waltham, Minnesota; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; Zion Lutheran, Gravelton, Missouri; Christ the King Lutheran, Billings, Montana; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; and Zion Lutheran, Douglas, Wyoming. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Christ Lutheran is a welcoming congregation in Rochester, Minnesota, providing traditional liturgy and hymns, word and sacraments. Call 507-289-0271. That's 507-289-0271. Or visit christrochester.org. Christ Lutheran Church, receiving and sharing Christ's mercy.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.